Welcome back to North Sound Racing. Hi, this is Sherry Berg. I was assigned the opportunity to interview someone who has never been interviewed on this show. In 1998, he was a pit reporter out at Evergreen Speedway for KRKO's broadcast of the Saturday night races. It is a pleasure and a privilege to introduce Steve Mortland, host and producer of North Sound Racing. How you doing, Steve?
Good. Good. Thanks. You okay?
I think so.
All right. Cool. Here we go.
So, how did it all start? Where did it begin?
Well, it began, the sickness actually began in 1997 when the company I was working for at the time, A&I Auto Supply, we took out an advertising program on the Saturday night races out at Evergreen Speedway on KRKO. And Scott Ellsworth was the play-by-play guy, did the whole thing. Plus, he was also a salesman for KRKO at the time when they were down on Lowell. He called me up and says, we need to put a package together for 1998. I said, okay, let's get together. We'll have lunch. And we did. And I said, well, what are your plans for this year? And he goes, you know, I'd like to put on a pit reporter. I've never had one. And I always thought it'd be neat to have somebody down talking to the drivers' teams down the pits. And I thought, you know, I could do that. Scott says, you have any experience at this? I said, well, I used to be a professional wrestling announcer, which tie that one into becoming a pit reporter at a stock car race. But we had, Scott and I got along really well. Part of the deal was you had 20 minutes on the pre-race show. If you're a new sponsor, come up, pitch your business. 20 minutes later, you're down in the pits. Well, Scott and I ended up pretty much the whole night up there. We got along so well, and he goes, okay, let's give it a try. And the Northwest Tour race in 1998 was the first thing I ever did. I was assigned Gary Lewis. He was the guy I was supposed to kind of follow around, and I think Gary won that race. And then we just kept going night after night all year long.
That's awesome. And Gary Lewis obviously still is a very good personal friend of yours.
Oh, yeah. 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 We get along well.
So what was your very first interview like?
I didn't have any trouble doing interviews because I learned a lot kind of going back to the professional wrestling days when I would interview wrestlers that were a character. And you could just go anywhere you wanted to with these guys. And they were good enough to go with you and kind of get a sense of where you're going. You go up to them and say, well, what do you want to talk about tonight? And one guy said, let's talk about the fact we're in a wood building. And I said, okay. And then you go from there and you somehow bring up the fact that you're inside of a wood building and see where they go with it and then just react off of that. And I think a lot of people who listen, they're programmed already to expect the questions that I'm going to ask. How'd the car run? You know, what do you attribute your victory to tonight? Tell me about the sponsors on your car. They already know what the questions are going to be. They're already kind of programmed as what the answers are going to be as well. So, you know, by watching a lot of racing, you learn a lot of questions.
So were you brought up at a racetrack? Did you own a race car? Did you drive a race car? What got you into car racing itself? Because it is.
It's a sickness.
It is.
It is, yeah. No, I've always been intrigued by it. I've always thought it was pretty neat to see a whole bunch of race cars out on a track with human beings inside of them, and always been intrigued about the fact about the decisions that they make when they're out there. I didn't really go to a whole lot of racetracks as a kid. I didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to it until one job I had, one of the guys that I worked with, he was really involved in up at Skagit Speedway when they had the old late models series that used to run out there. In fact, he was a crew guy for Tim Levine. And he says, you know, you need to come up to Skagit sometime and see what it's like up there. You've never seen anything like it. So me and a couple friends of mine, we go up there, and I mean, it was just, I was like reborn. I was so fascinated by the people that went to the races up at Skagit Speedway. They were so loyal to one driver and one driver alone. Everybody else was the mortal enemy, but their guy, and they all had different guys. And then you go down into the pits and you see this whole new culture down in the pits. And guys, you know, they would bring a car in, and then they'd just start kicking the side panels on. They were so mad at the car. Well, God forbid you kick the driver. Kick the car. It's not going to kick back. And then it just, that's where the sickness really began, was trying to figure out why these people were so passionate about a car, a guy who drives the car, the team, the sponsor, whatever. I mean, there's so many variables to it, and I just found that so fascinating, and I had to figure out what it was. And then I started watching NASCAR when it was on ESPN, and figured I needed to have a driver. I needed to have one guy so I could experience this whole thing. And I picked Dale Earnhardt because he seemed like a pretty good guy to pick. He was the guy that could just run through a field, turn somebody if they needed to be turned, just so totally screw with them. You could just see it from the wide-angle shot. And he would do the famous crossover move on you where if a guy passed Earnhardt, he would just wham, down underneath, back up, right in front of you. And he probably would have flipped you off as he was going by. It's just such a fascinating culture. The asphalt guys, the dirt guys, it's a sickness.
Well, don't you think of all the tracks that you've gone to that almost every single track has the intimidator of some sort?
Oh, sure it does. And that's what brings people back. And track owners love it because, you know, here you got this one guy, John Zareski out at Evergreen Speedway. John, I'll bet you, just due to his God-given talent, brings a lot of people into the seats because people either want to see John win or they want to see John get beat. Same way up at Skagit Speedway let's take Travis Roots, for example. Mm-hmm. I would pay to go to Skagit Speedway to see what Travis Roots is going to do next. To have him put on a show like he did on opening night this season up there between him and Barry Martinez and Seth Bergman, or to, you know, watch what John Zareski does when he starts mid-pack. I mean, you can't buy better entertainment than that. And every track needs to have a hero, and every track needs to have a villain. It's the classic, you know, going all the way back to the Lions and the Romans. You know, who do you want to win? You want the Lions to win, or you want the Romans to win? And it's the same way at every racetrack all across the country.
So during your pit reporting and going to these different tracks and seeing people, did you have that opportunity to actually get in a race car yourself? So when you're asking people these questions and you're interviewing and you're trying to ask the right questions, mm-hmm. have you gotten that experience yet?
I have. The first time I ever got into not a race car, but a race vehicle, was in 1998 during the 4th of July extravaganza out at Evergreen Speedway. And I always thought it'd be kind of cool to take a ride with in a figure eight school bus. So I got a hold, and if I'm going to go ride in a bus, we're going to win the damn thing. So I got a hold of Zareski and I said, hey, what do you think about me going for a ride with you in a school bus with a wireless microphone? And, you know, of course, John, he was all over that. They put, I don't know how much time, rigging me up a seat belts, harness, the whole deal. And, we did it on the radio that night. And they plumbed it into the PA system. I could hear Scott. Scott could hear me. It was going out over the radio. They had a little boombox deal that they turned the radio on. So they it was so cool. And then, I think the next season two seasons later, I was going down into walking through the pits and I hear over my headset, report to Steve Peters contact figure eight car.
That would just be an uh-oh to me.
Oh, no, I went right away. I didn't know what was going to happen. I go back there all of a sudden. Here comes a helmet midair right towards my stomach. He says, get in, we're going. And this was back when he had his two-seat Cadillac contact figure eight car. We went out for a B-main, and I broadcast the whole thing from his car. And we still talk about it to this day. I mean, and we won the thing. It was so cool. And I've had a chance to ride on the 5/8 with Kevin Hamlin, which I play on the show occasionally because it was just so cool. Trying to explain what it is these guys go through inside the car and what gets into their mind. I'm fascinated by adrenaline. I brought that up from the very first show on about why you have people that can, you know, normally think. They can balance a checkbook. They can go to the store. They can repair a stove if it happens to break down, yet you put them inside a $70,000 race car and they turn into just animals. And I am just fascinated by how that whole thing works. Adrenaline, Greg Bennett really put it best. He goes, man, I'm an adrenaline junkie. And I can understand why they do those things.
Well, they're pretty wound up when they get out of those race
cars. No,
they're pretty hard to even talk to.
Yeah.
So what did you and Carla and Galen think about driving the legend car that you did 3 years or so ago out in the 3/8 at Monroe? What did you think of that?
I was so focused on one thing that Bill Bailey told us, and that was how much it's going to cost if you spin one of these and run the motor backwards. That was my goal. And any time I've been in a situation like that, it's always best to have a goal. One is to, you know, finish the race, not get hurt, don't wreck the car. And the other one is to avoid it costing me any money. And I was really focused on that. And Carla went out first. She did loop it, but didn't run it backwards, so it didn't cost her $300 for a starter. I went out, did my 10 laps, and I started to breathe. And I had to remind myself, you know, you got to breathe. Otherwise, you're going to pass out and wreck the thing. And I didn't want to spin it. And then I bring it back in. Galen goes out, comes back in after three laps, and he goes, oh, I noticed on the gauges it was getting hot. Well, there's the difference between me and Galen. Galen can look at the gauges. And I thought, oh, damn it, there's gauges in this thing. I should be looking at this stuff. And that was really a highlight. It was so fun to be so low to the ground and to actually think, you know, we had to follow a pilot car around, and to actually think that I want to pass the pilot guy. And I think it was like one of the carries. It was either Nick or Rowan who was out there leading us around.
Uh-huh.
And if I would have known them then like I know Nick and Rowan now, I'd have been just all over them like a cheap suit. It would have been so much fun.
You know, there's so many people in the stands that want to drive a race car, and they think this is really what they want to do till they get out there, and they're just trying to make turn one or turn two, and then there's the straightaway. Mm-hmm. They don't look at the gauges.
No.
Let alone look to see who's coming up behind them or around them. So it's pretty skilled.
It is. There's a lot of skill to it, and it's like an eerie calm, you know, when Galen is smart enough. He's spent enough time in bombers and late model cars over the years that he knows that if he comes out of turn number two, points the car straight, it's going to go straight. And he can look at the gauges. He can, you know, make some calculations. A guy like me, no way. I got to worry about that thing going straight.
So with the radio show, you told me before that it's been really, really fun, especially the last year or so, that people really enjoy being on your show. And when you call them up and say, hey, I understand you won your first race, or you did this or you did that, you know, can I call you for an interview? And it's been really nice to have people really wanting to talk about what's going on in the racing world, the promoters, the sponsors, everybody wants to do it. So where do you think North Sound Racing is going to go? Now you're on your 100th show. Where do you want to go from here?
I want to go to 200 shows. And I would like to keep it a lot along the same line as it is. The one thing that's been most important to me about North Sound Racing is to let the people know, whoever's going to be on the show and who's ever listening to the show, that we respect, A, what they do as a hobby or a vocation, B, we respect the fact that they're good at what they do, and respect the fact that people take time out to listen to what these guys have to say. And I want to keep that the same. I want to be able to call a guy up any time of the day and say, hey, I need you on the show on Thursday night. I don't know when I'm going to call you, but be ready because we're going to. And they say, fine, no problem. I'll have my phone ready. And that to me means a lot. And the fact that they know that they're going to come on this show, they're not going to be embarrassed, they're not going to be looked down upon, they're not going to be judged, and they're going to have a good time. And they'll look forward to the next time that they come on. And now, what's really cool is we're starting to get people, you know, hey, I won my first race. When do I get to be on your radio show? To me, that's one of the best compliments we've had.
That's awesome. And now that you're on the web more, now that your shows, anyone can listen to them at any time, and the station making the improvements they are to the 50,000-watt mm-hmm. goal here, can't you just see this thing just even getting better and better? Because we are computer oriented, but yet there's still a huge amount of people that don't want to get on the computer, and mm-hmm. they want to listen to the radio. They want to listen to your show.
Yeah, I'm very proud of that fact. And I'm also very proud of the fact that KRKO is doing what they're doing in order to get to that 50,000-watt goal. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do. And for those of us that have worked here over the years, and we've seen what the station has gone through, so even in the last 10 years with moving up into this new facility, all the new computers and how much better everything sounds. And now that 50,000 watts is just right around the corner, people will have an idea of what this station is capable of, and it's capable of a lot of things. And to be a part of that, a very, very small part of that, which I'm really cool with, don't get me wrong, but to be a very small part of what this station is doing and having a show that is so unique, there's nothing like this show on, I don't think, definitely in the state of Washington and probably on the Pacific Coast. And I want to keep it that way. I like to have that uniqueness.
So I think what you're telling me then, to sum this all up, is yes, you want to promote racing. And yes, you want to promote all the local tracks in the area. It's a family, totally a family sport. You go into the stands, the whole entire family is in the stands. And I think radio still has a huge part of promoting the sport, helping the sponsors, helping the track promoters. I think that is where you're telling me that you're wanting to go with the station. I mean, that's where you want to go with the show.
Well, I think it's a win-win deal for everybody involved. We have the capacity here with North Sound Racing to tell people what's going to be happening at five or six tracks around the state of Washington on any given Thursday night that we're on. And the tracks appreciate it. Therefore, if I need to have Steve Beitler on the phone, I call him, and he's on. If I need to have Joe Dahlefeld or Mike Arita from Afreda or Ron over at Yakima or Michelle over at Wenatchee or Nick down at South Sound, George at Grays Harbor, Tom over at Port Angeles, they're a phone call away. And they realize it. It helps them. It helps us. That's why I made the comment. It's a win-win deal.
Well, and I think the remote shows are fun, too.
They are.
That's why we're doing this remote tonight.
They are. They're a kick in the pants.
Congratulations, Steve, on your 100th show. This has been a very exciting night. We have lots more to go, so I think you're giving me the signal it's time to be quiet. So stay tuned for more of the 100th show of North Sound Racing, presented by Action Auto Parts on North Sound 1380 ESPN Radio. Have a great night.
Good job.